So we're in familiar company here this morning, right? You know each other and you know yourself well, so we don't have to talk about sin because none of us sin, right? It's an unpopular word. It is not politically correct to talk about our sin. My mother used to say sin was an acronym, self-indulgence now. We are indulgent people. And yet, because we're people of the word, you know a theological term that wipes it all out. We go to the word and we hear 1 John say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So justification, the theological term of justification, is that thing that Jesus has done once for all. And yet we keep coming back going, remember, Lord? I once heard about a man who wanted to travel the Americas, and back in the early 1900s, he had a Rolls Royce, and he decided he'd put his Rolls Royce on the boat and send it over so it could be here when he arrived. And he flew over. This is the early time in where air flight, I guess it wasn't early 1900s, it was when flight was early and only the rich could really fly. And he flew over, and he was driving and enjoying his vacation, and he started to have problems with his Rolls Royce. And so he called to England and spoke to the Rolls Royce dealer and said, you know, what do I do? I'm having trouble. And they said, well, we'll fly a mechanic over to take care of your car. And they did, and he did, and on he went with his vacation. But the rest of his vacation, he wondered, how much did I incur of debt for that repair? They flew this guy over, they flew him back, they repaired my car, and I saw no bill. So later, when he returns to England, he sends a dispatch to Rolls-Royce, and he says, by the way, I've not seen any bill on this car that I had repaired. I'm wondering if you could tell me how much it was to fix my car. And Rolls-Royce wrote back, I'm sorry, sir, but we have no record of any Rolls-Royce ever being in need of repair. To me, that is just a beautiful illustration of justification. And yet we go to the Lord again and again and again. We need to, because we know in our fallen nature, we have this tug of war until we're made complete. We're in this, we have been justified, and therefore our salvation is secure, and yet we have to live the rest of this life. Ugh. The rest of this life, we have to wrestle with the flesh, with our temptations. And let me tell you, as we heard in the scriptures this morning, we are given a primer for how to deal with our temptation. God's word. God's word is the very substance of what we need to turn to be able to deal with our temptation, because there's nothing that we face that we will have to turn away from God's will if we turn to the word in that temptation. I played for you, I think it was last year during Holy Week, the movie The Bethlehem Star. And in it, this very cultural Baptist who was told that if he studied the stars, it would be a sin because astrology is a sin. And he said, no, Mom, it's astronomy. And he wanted to teach his kids what the Bethlehem star was, the star that pointed to Jesus. And the more he pressed, the more he saw that you could push the scriptures incredibly in order to get back answers that are not just historical, but spiritual. Because they point to something that God wants us to see. And I believe that for the word this morning. Alan, you read an incredible, where did he go? Did he slip out? He did an incredible job this morning reading Psalm 51. And there's a breaker anointing that comes with Psalm 51 over whoever's reading it as well, I believe, as the congregation. David is in lament. over what he's done. David, the man who is one after God's own heart, beloved the way that John was to Jesus. He was a worshiper. And David fell flat on his face. David fell because he saw something beautiful that he thought, I'm king, I gotta have that. And in his failure, he had to deal with the consequences of sin, which is death. Months later, after his son was born, the consequence of his sin, his son died. And in this beautiful play that I didn't pick up for years, but I heard with clarity for the first time in seminary, he prays to his yet born, slightly lived young son and says, you cannot come to me, but one day I will come to you. That's to a culture that didn't speak of resurrection. That's to a culture that didn't speak of the afterlife. They knew the Messiah was coming, but they didn't know the fullness of the new covenant. And they still didn't understand it when Jesus came. But you see, David lamented of his sin because he knew that he had a merciful God. And so David, before the Lord, just cries out in a way that is just so beautiful in this psalm. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. You shall make me understand wisdom secretly. You shall purge me with hyssop. He knew what the atoning sacrifice of the Passover lamb would do. And you have that picture. I always have this vivid picture. I can't forget it. Alan Ross in our Old Testament exegesis course took some pine branches and dipped it in watercolored red or juice or whatever. I don't know what he had, but he put up a white sheet in front of the class and he said, you would cover the lentil and the doorpost. Dip, dip, dip. The lentil and the doorpost. Dip, dip, dip. The lentil and the doorpost. And that sounds really strange. Dip, 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 dip. Here's Sha-na-na, right? But when he was done, over the whole of this white sheet was the sign of the cross. It's like painting with too much paint on your brush. Gets everywhere. And when the people of God were covering their homes with the blood of the lamb so that the angel of death would go over, you know that they were not being, let me just make a little dab here, a little here, and a little here. They wanted to make sure that the Lord saw that. And the sign of the cross was over their home. Is the sign of the cross over your home? Over your heart? Are you washed in his blood? So that you could say, purge me with hyssop that I might be clean. You shall wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. After this repentance, after this call, Peter, wow, David, he goes on, and we stopped at this certain point, and David goes on to say, then I shall teach your ways unto the wicked, and sinners will return unto you. Because I know your mercy, Lord, because I have done something that is one of the cardinal rules, one of the top 10. I committed adultery. I committed murder. There's no place for me except for in your mercy. And through your love for me. And when you've reconciled me, I will speak of your love to others so that they will see the cross of Christ over my life, so that they will see and know that I am stained in a way that I have been made clean. Are you stained by the blood of the cross? Are you washed in the fullness of what he's done for you? Has he repaired your engine and not charged you for the repair? He goes on, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. You know, we get this lesson again and again. We say these things in a liturgical culture and we forget that there's a reason why we've sort of painted purple over stuff. The passion of Christ needs to be so prevalent in who we are. It's not just a nice color so we can look like Barney and say, super dee dooper. You know? It's a hard season. It's a repentant season. It's a difficult a time where we have to pull back and look at our sin and make sure, have we put our faces before the Lord and drenched ourselves in his blood? Saturated our lives so that it displaces. I remember a good friend of ours who had a really bright son, and he was teaching him the theory of displacement when he was like 6 or 7 in the tub because of how a body displaces the water. Like, it's not a concept you really think about until somebody points out when you get in the water rises. Well, in the same way, God wants to push out the sin in our lives by filling us with him. And you have to ask, well, how is that done? How do I get more of him and less of the other guy? How do I saturate my life in such a way? It's discipline. We went away for 2 weekends just recently with my friend Jan Nell. And the cosmic killjoy of my friend is he had us up at 5 a.m. every morning. I'm not a 5 a.m. person, let me tell you. I'm not an anything a.m. person. But I, like everybody else on that weekend, had to recognize he wanted us to enter into discipline. And yeah, it's not easy to get up early and be with the Lord. Yeah, it's not easy to follow probably what might seem like a mundane pattern of drawing from his word. But unless we do it, unless we apply the discipline to our lives. Now, I'm a type Z personality. You know, there's type A's who love that stuff. I'm off the page on the other end of the spectrum. But I love God's word. And as I've discovered this pattern that Jan has taught us, man, it just brought more and more and more to life. So Paul is speaking to the Romans today in our epistle. And he makes this comparison that we ought to understand, and he's hammering it home because he wants us to understand. And he says, just as sin came in through the world by one man, through one man, the act of the cross and the power of the resurrection has canceled that, should we approach it with faith. Have to be careful. Justification doesn't just come because Jesus did it. Thank you, Rob Bell. Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. Before he wrote that book, there were many people who thought that his theology was right on par. He was very relevant. He was speaking into the lives of many young people. And he was the pastor at a place called Mars Hill. And he wrote this book, and it basically negated the need for the cross. Because of Jesus' love, because he is the one who justifies, everybody gets in. I don't believe that Scripture attests to that. So we have to push the Scripture and say, okay, if I have been saved by grace through faith, and yet I still sin, where am I? That's the question of Lent. Are you good with God? And do you believe that what he did once for all, and he did once for you? That's where the question is. So when we see this contrast, just as through one judgment there came condemnation, many trespasses were released because of the gift of justification through one man. Just because through one man's trespasses brought in death upon mankind, Jesus reigns in life. That's where I can say, I said on Ash Wednesday, you know, it's a beautiful service. It was a beautiful service for me because it was a year ago that my dad died on Ash Wednesday. And I have a picture of him having just passed with ash on his forehead. And that might sound morbid. I don't want to offend for anybody. But what a beautiful picture, because I know it wasn't the end. It was just a continuation, because he was justified through the cross, and he loved Jesus, and he had faith that brought him home. Just as one trespass brought condemnation, one act brought us justification, brought all justification and righteousness. Just as one act of disobedience constituted a blanket over all mankind, Adam being a representation of all mankind, Christ being the counterpart, brings us righteousness because of his act on the cross. Sin reigned in death, but grace reigns because it brings to us eternal life. So Jesus has just started his ministry. We're going to walk with him from now until Easter Sunday. And we see temptation come against him. We see the enemy say to him, "I know you're hungry. Why don't you just turn one of these stones to bread? It'll taste good." I was hungry yesterday, and I had no lunch by choice because I was, you know, focusing on stuff that I had to get done. And I went out to dinner, and the first thing I wanted to do when that waiter came over and put a basket of bread on my table was just... Imagine being in the desert and having had nothing and being in this place just outside of Jerusalem, which is probably the best location that they believe Jesus was taken, because it was a place where they could have access to the temple and have access to the desert, which is sort of to the Jericho side of Jerusalem. There's a place called the Desert of Zin. And it's near the Wadi Kelt, and it's just a desolate sort of place. And on the ground are these boulders that are of the color, of the clay color of bread. And they're everywhere. And we went on this tour with our archaeologist friend from the Institute, the Albright, that's there. He said, "Imagine hearing this word as Jesus and seeing the bread everywhere. What temptation was like. For you and I, we'd be like, poof, 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 poof. Bread, 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 bread." For Jesus, he was like, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." He turned to the word and he said, "Do all that you want to do." And he did. He brought him up to the top, highest part of the temple. He said, "This all could be yours if you just worship me." Well, you and I are being tempted in the same way, aren't we? This all could be yours. Vacations, retirement. Did you know retirement's not a biblical idea? Sorry, guys. It's not. If you're retired, that's great. Wonderful. I'm glad you're retired. But God is not through with you. He's not through with you. He has so much more for you. Jan is so impressed with this congregation because he sees the heart that you have for the gospel, for it to go to the next generation. And we have an obligation. We have so much deposit of what God has done in this place over the years that it would be a shame if we didn't pour it out on others so that others might soak in the blood of Christ and be saved. Amen? Amen. So today, we're going to think about the theory of displacement. We're going to understand the theology of justification. That your engine has been made well. And there's no bill. Because the price has been paid. Hallelujah. Would you rejoice in that? This doesn't have to be a somber season of wah, wah, wah. Oftentimes Lent tends to be that. Oh, I'm suffering because I can't have candy. I'm suffering because I chose not to have alcohol. I'm suffering because I've taken on the discipline of whatever. Do it with joy. Do it with thanksgiving in your heart. And let your response be such that when you hear the Lord coming to you in mercy, that your next response is, "Once that I, in repentance, have been made clean by the Lord, then I will teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you." Be a living testimony of what God's doing in your lives, and you'll see an amazing fruit being born from the repentance that has taken root in you. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we turn our lives over to you today. We ask that as we hear that Psalm 51 lament of David, we also hear that in repentance he turned and bore witness to your great mercy, your forgiveness, and your justification. Help us not, Lord, to look back on sins that have been forgiven, but deal with the ones that are in front of us so that we might be more and more and more like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.